Okay, good morning. I was worried. No, I wasn't worried, but I was concerned when it was so empty in here. I thought, well, everybody went on the last ditch vacation or something. But I'm glad you did not do that. I'd invite you to take your Bibles. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 today, Hebrews 12. And Laverne keeps telling me, you got one more lesson, one more. And Lord willing, we have one more. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wouldn't lead me another way, but I think by next week we should be finished, although there is so much more. I mean, I've skipped over so many things, but I want us to see about what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as we consider Him and God's final word to us. Now, what we're going to talk about this morning and what we've looked at in Hebrews, I've spent several years, you know, reading and going through Hebrews, and I'd never really got it, never really understood, even though I knew all these things, until the last week or so, and it's begun to open up to me the reality of our position in Christ Jesus. And I could say it, and I knew it, but it was like it was still kind of cloudy. And when I'd read Andrew Murray, and I said, just don't have it yet. But in what we talked about last week about our position in Christ and living by the realities of what we are, it's all understandable. And so if you don't understand and you don't understand it all yet, I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your understanding so that you can take your position in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And that's what we're going to deal with this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, toward the end of the chapter. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll talk about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever as we conclude. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, I want to begin reading in verse number 14 because it kind of leads up to where we're going to be today. But in verse 14, you'll notice here that the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that that word should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion." Now, let me ask you, what tense is that? Those of you who know English, ye are come. Is that future tense or is that present tense? That's present. So if it's present tense, that means it's right now. It's not something in the future. It's right now. And what I want you to understand this morning as you look at this, live by the realities of now. Okay? Now let's look where we are now. He says, here, "For ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Okay, let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you this morning for, again, the opportunity that we have to open your eternal word. And the promises and the things that are written therein are true and real. And they speak to us and they give us everything that we need to live above and to live where you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood of sprinkling that you have sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven so that all of us right now have access to God the Father. And thank you that we can call you Father. And I pray in a special way this morning that you'd open the eyes of our understanding. Holy Spirit, you are the great illuminator. And just as you've helped me in the last, as we've gone through this summer and then the last few weeks, to open my eyes of understanding and to take my position in Christ Jesus, may each of us that know you as our Savior, that are born again, would we enter into that place. Now, I thank you that we have authority in Christ today over principalities and powers. And I pray that if there's any hindering spirit in this place, that it would be cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the precious blood that he shed, so that we might fully understand what we have and not be ignorant. I need your help this morning, Lord. The time restraints seem so heavy upon us. And Lord, if we don't get that far today, then help me to deliver exactly what you want me to, so that we can understand and walk in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, here's what I want you to look at. The Bible tells us here, in the end of this chapter, but what we just read, we're not come, verse 18, to a mount that might be touched. Now this is, even though he does not say this here, we understand from Scripture, he's referring back to the Old Covenant again. And under the Old Covenant that was given in Exodus chapters 19 and 20, this is where, if you've read the Bible at all, you know that they were at Mount Sinai there, and that's where the law was given. And God said, I'm going to come down upon the mount, and I want you to mark borders around that mount that no man or animal touch the mount. They don't come close to the mount. Don't even get near it. And the Bible says that they did that. Matter of fact, let's go back there just a little bit, because this will fill in some of the spots. The writer of Hebrews has summarized it here. But in chapter 19 of Exodus, and let's see here. In verse 12, this is where God said, in verse 11, he said, be ready against the third day. The third day the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount Sinai. In verse 12, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up to the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And it's come close, but don't touch the mount. And so the Bible says that this is what they did. And verse 16 gives us another idea of what's happening here. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Bible says in verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And, of course, it goes on there. And then chapter 20, God gives them the law. He speaks verbally with the people. And then if you'll notice with me in verse 18 of chapter 20, this is what the people said. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mount smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And he says to the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, to test you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. So that is the summary of where the writer of Hebrews is getting this in chapter 12. But notice he talks about, and I'm back in Hebrews now, where he says that there was fire and blackness and darkness and a tempest, the sound of a trumpet and a voice. And I think this voice is probably much like we see in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is spoken of. He speaks in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says his voice was as the sound of many waters. And so this is what the people heard. Now, It was terrifying. And even Moses, when he saw this, this is the thing. We don't see it in Exodus, but in verse 21, he says, I exceedingly fear and quake. He said, even I was afraid when I saw these sights and I heard this voice. And this is Mount Sinai, and this is where God gave the law to the children of Israel. Now, all this follows on the heels of what is said here in verse 14 through 17 that we've read right here. And let me just summarize this. First of all, verse 14, we are commanded to follow after holiness. We are to follow after holiness. And we're not only with the Lord, but with all men. It says all men. And peace with all men. That's what we are to do. Okay? And then in verse 15, we are not to despise the birthright blessing. We have been birthed in Jesus Christ. We're not to despise the fact that we're saved. We're not to be ashamed of the fact that we're saved. He said, don't despise that. And then verse 16, we're reminded what our true position is in Christ, of course, as believers, and we're to partake of the full blessing that we have, verse 17, that we've been made partakers of. So what I've done is I've described this lesson as consider now not Mount Sinai, but Mount Zion. And there's a contrast between the two given to us here. Mount Sinai, of course, is where the law was given. And that's what Israel saw. Now, we see here two dispensations that are two different things that's been really discussed in Hebrews. It looks back to the old, but says the new is better. This is the way it was in the old, but the new is a lot better. The old, the law, what does the law do? You know it. It kills. You touch the mount, you die. If you don't keep the law perfectly, you die. Right? And you've offended one point, you've offended all. And there's no recourse. It's death. So the old is death. It's the law. But the new law, which is in Christ Jesus, which has been written in our hearts, gives what? Life. Yes. And it's by the Spirit that has been written there. And my Spirit, like we said last week, that's the part of you and me that's been born again. That's the part, the new man. That's my Spirit. My Spirit with the Holy Spirit, I've been made alive. And I'm a child of light. I'm no more in darkness. I'm to understand what I have and the position that I have and the place that I have and all the new that opens up to me because I've been born again. So under the old, under Mount Sinai, I want to discuss that a little bit. There was one of preparation. Moses says, get ready. On the third day, God's coming down. It was preparation. There was a promise, but it was weakness and failure. The law was weakness and failure. You remember the children of Israel. They heard Moses say, well, this is what God says. And they said, all the Lord tells us to do, we will do it. But you know what? Moses even understood you can't do it. Because if you look there, he took some hyssop and dipped it in blood and he put it on the people, sprinkled the people. He said, you got to have a covering. You can't keep the law. You can't. You have to have the blood to cover you. And there's great symbolism there because, you know, we can't keep the law. We can't obey the Lord. We need to be covered. We need the blood covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood sprinkling has been sprinkled. And it's continually sprinkled in my conscience, on my heart, by the Holy Spirit all the time. Because sometimes, you know, I've had people, and you've heard preachers say, well, you got to confess every single sin that you know of. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, I sin sometimes and I don't know what I have. What's keeping me from not, what's keeping the fellowship? The blood of the sprinkling. Continually. Because the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, it's my desire to walk in the light. Oh, Lord, I want to obey You. If we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. It's effectual. It keeps on cleansing me from sin that I don't realize I do. But when I do realize I sin, and we all do, because we're children of light, we choose now as children of light to follow the temptation. Like I said before, you've got a way of escape, but if you don't take it, you follow your flesh. Oh. And then there's a guilt, there's a condemnation, and I have to go and I have to say the same thing about my sin that God says about it. It was wrong. It was against you. And then, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to, here it is, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The fellowship is restored. But I don't have to choose to sin anymore. Unsaved people, that's what they do. But not saved folks. Okay? So under the law, there's death and preparation and failure. But under the new law that's written in my heart, there was fulfillment. It was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. There was perfection. He was the perfect Lamb of God. There was power because Christ now helps us and gives us his power by the power of his endless life. The power, the victory of his endless life. So, Mount Sinai symbolizes what the law does. It works wrath and fear. And it comes with demands that neither you or I can fulfill. We can't fulfill the demands of the law. And so it has its threats. And what it does is it rouses self-effort. Well, I have to do this to make sure that God's pleased. And I have to do it exactly this way or he's not happy with me. Understand? That's Mount Sinai. That's the law. And I don't know if we're going to get this far today, but do you understand that there's a lot of people, just like the people in Hebrews, that are out from under Mount Sinai, but they're living and trying to keep the law and trying to keep it, you know, trying to do it to keep God pleased so God's happy with them. Do you realize salvation is not of works? The works of the law were all done in Christ Jesus. It was all done for you. You've received that. You're in him. You don't have to do anything to keep God happy with you because you and I are in his son. And do you understand what I'm trying to say? This is not some new kind of doctrine. The law was fulfilled in Christ. It's been done away. God's happy with Christ and what he did for me. And so I don't have to do certain things to keep myself happy in God's presence. No, no. It's none of that anymore. It's the law of grace. And you see, under the law, there was no will to want to do God's will. None. But under the new law, I want to do his will. And why? Because I love him. Not because I'm being forced. Not because of, I don't go to soul winning, Brother Parker's not going to be happy with me, and God's not going to be happy with me, and I'm going to be, No. It's not that. It's not condemnation. And in independent fundamental circles, we have taught in back in the 70s, if you don't do this, you're not something. You're not right. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I'm free. But I do go soul winning and I do follow what's right because I love God, because I have a new man. It's not because I have to. It's because he has given me this newness, and I want to obey him. It all goes back to I've given a new heart that wants to obey. That seed of God that's in me, like we said last week, wants to obey him. It doesn't want to disobey. It wants to follow him. And so he's given me the ability to do so by the Holy Spirit, by his grace, to follow what's right. And so there's no condemnation to me. You see, The Mount Sinai only discovers and condemns sin. The law brings a sense of self-reproach and self-condemnation. And you know what? In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 7, that's what you see. You see somebody who's trying to live the Christian life under the law. And Paul says, a wretched man that I am. But then in chapter 8, you see somebody that's walking in newness of life. Somebody that's been resurrected with Christ. That's Mount Zion, okay? And I would in your own personal study this week, go back and read Romans chapter 7, or actually, you could start with 6, but you look at chapter 7 and then chapter 8, and there's a radical difference. One is Mount Sinai, and one is Mount Zion. Mount Zion, the freedom that there is. So we can see, as we look at the book of Hebrews, there were Hebrews that were trying to live under Mount Sinai because they were ignorant of the fact that they were not under Mount Sinai, they were Mount Zion. There's a freedom in place there. And so if that's true, then it's true today. And it all goes back to belief. It all goes back to faith. What I believe, how can I say this? What I believe motivates me in how I move, right? If I believe something's true, it may not be true, but if I believe it's true, it's got to be true. And it's, you know, that goes back to our discussion that we had about strongholds. What I believe, I can believe a lie and think it's really true, but it's not true. And so these Hebrews and like people today, they either ignorance or unbelief don't take what's given to them in Christ. And I don't want any of us to fall short. And the Bible tells us in chapter 2, remember? I can't really quote it, but I want to go back there. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, he said, here, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let them just float by. And we have heard a lot. But like I said this morning when I started, I don't expect you to get this right now. If you do, and God opens your understanding and you get some of it, that's better than not having any of it and not walking in any of it. So I don't want you to be ignorant or walk in unbelief. We must believe what's been given to us and where we are in Christ. So by faith, we're to live our life under the new covenant. Under the new covenant. And the realities of the new covenant. And if we don't, then all the weakness and sin that beleaguered the children of Israel in the wilderness will beleaguer us. Remember the sin that God hates? The sin which does this easily beset is unbelief. And if it didn't please him during the Exodus generation, it doesn't please him now when we don't believe. We are to believe. And in these last days, when Jesus comes, he says, shall I find what on the earth? Faith. Well, it ought to be active in me. We ought to be like Barnabas, who was full of faith. Full of faith. And so there's a lot in the Bible that talks about this. For time restraints, I want you to, maybe you can write this down, but go to and look at Galatians chapter 4 and verses 24 through 28. And there, well, you're turning there, so we'll go back and look at it. Because this kind of deals with the same thing about where we are, but in a different way. Galatians chapter 4. And this talks about the free woman and the one under bondage. Galatians 4, 24. He talks about the two women here. It talks about Hagar and talks about Sarah. And verse 24 says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. All right? And then, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. An answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, this is the heavenly Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all. So he's talking about Mount Zion, Mount Zion. It's free. You see, one is the law, Mount Sinai, and Mount Zion is free. Now, we've been brought under bondage, like Romans chapter 8 tells us, but it's a good bondage because we're under a good king, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the whole secret, Andrew Murray said this, he said, the whole secret of the Christian life is rightly apprehending the difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. The one with the spirit of bondage and fear and condemnation, and the other with its boldness and liberty. Remember, we have access to the tabernacle in heaven, the holiest of holies, and we can go in and speak face to face with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is your position. And we need to, just like we have had a physical birth and we relate to this physical realm, we have had a spiritual birth And we're to walk in that realm. We're to walk in the unseen realm. We know that there's spiritual battles all over us. We can't see, but we know there's principalities and powers of darkness that you and I battle against. How do we become victorious? Through Christ Jesus. I take my place. I am his body. I mean, a head without a body can't work, and a body without a head can't work. I'm his body. I'm one with him. He that's joined to the Lord is one, what? Body or spirit? Spirit. Yes. So I'm one with him. So I take that position. I reject evil thoughts. I cast them down. When I have an evil thought, I say, I reject that thought because it is not part of my new man. And I claim the victory through the blood of Christ. That's operating by the spiritual realm because I'm alive spiritually. And there's victory in that. There's victory in Christ. And when discouragement comes, I don't have to. When he magnifies, the devil magnifies something that somebody said and makes me, I don't have to accept that. I can reject it through Christ Jesus and what he did for me. So this is what we're talking about by apprehending where I am. Where am I in Christ? I am not under bondage and fear and slavery. I am free. I'm bold and I have liberty. Liberty to do what I want in my flesh? No. Liberty to serve Christ. Liberty to live free. Liberty to do right. Galatians talks about that. So, since Mount Sinai is so terrible, why do we want to live there? And if God says, you don't have to live there, why don't we run to what he has for us? Because there is freedom in all of that. So, strange to say, after a soul is saved and accepted Christ as their Savior, sometimes they're inclined to go back to, what do I have to do? And how do I have to keep God happy? Hey, that's Mount Sinai. You're in Mount Zion. And it's totally different. And what I have at Mount Sinai is that God not only gives me a free and full pardon for sin, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm not condemned. See, not after the flesh. That's a surface level kind of Christianity. If you want to walk after the flesh, that's carnality. But after the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit just being guided and directed by him and living in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm not getting spooky, okay? I'm not trying to be spooky, but I'm saying believe what you are and take that place. And so he's given me pardon of sin. The law is written in my hearts, and I have the power for obedience that's provided by the Holy Spirit. The power to obey is given to me by the Holy Spirit. I'm not left alone. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send the Spirit. He came. He's here. He's in you. And he gives you the power to obey, the power to do what's right. And he makes us fit for entering the presence in the Holy of Holies anytime I want to come because of the fitness that I have from Christ Jesus. And I can have unbroken fellowship with the Trinity. It's possible. It is possible because of what Christ has done. And I'm talking about the spiritual realities. And we're so ignorant sometimes of spiritual realities, and we live such a base, if you want to say it, Christian life. And you and I don't have to. We don't have to dwell there. So we are not coming to Mount Sinai, and if you're discouraged and you're fainting in your race, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. And our complaints that when I want to do good, evil is present with me is Mount Sinai. That's Romans chapter 7. You're in Romans chapter 8. You know, evil is not present with you. Yeah, it's there, but I'm to act like it's dead. My flesh is dead. Reckon yourselves also indeed dead unto what? Sin, but what does it say? Alive unto God. Do you see the contrast here, class? I'm not under that. I am not. And I have to reckon it. I have to take it into account. This is true. I don't have to. Evil is present with me. Sure, but it's dead. I don't have to operate by it. And if I do, I'm living a fleshly level. And it's condemnation because I got to go to God. Oh, God, forgive me. When I don't have to, I have power to live unto God. Through whom? a person, Christ. It's through him. Victory in any area in Christian life goes back to Jesus Christ. He is to have the preeminence of my life. So he's taken me out from the shadow of Mount Sinai and placed me in Mount Zion. And Christ is now my life. And in the power of his endless life, he is bringing me near to God. And he is my mediator, putting me in divine reality of what all that has for me. He's my king priest and sending from his throne his Holy Spirit to reveal himself to me and what he can do for me. Now, let's look at Mount Sinai. Let's look at Mount Zion. Sinai. How did I get that? I put Sinai and Zion together. Let's look at Mount Zion. I'm sorry. I'm so exercised, if you want to put it on this. I want to be sure that you understand it. I want the Holy Spirit to help you understand this. But let's look at where we are then. This is not pie in the sky by and by. This is right now. This is the city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is where you are and where I am. Let's see who's there. There's five groups given to us here in Scripture. First of all, the Bible, the reality of Zion is that it's given three names there in verse 22. I'm come to Mount Zion, and that reminds me of Psalm 48, verse 2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Can I ask you, can you see the kingdom yet? Can we see it physically? No, but it is real. Is it real? Is there a mountain? Yes, there is. And this is what it's talking about right here. And it's also called the city of the living God. It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. So, may God reveal to us the fact that you now have been made fit to live there now. In your spirit. Okay? In our spirits, we have been made fit for heaven. Fit for the heavenly Mount Zion. And so that's our dwelling place. So let's look at the residence. First of all, the Bible tells us it's a home for five groups. And we can live here spiritually. First of all, the Bible says we're come to an innumerable company of angels. Now these are the holy angels. These are they that stand around the throne who fulfill the will of God. I believe that God uses the angels to even control nature. They're spirits. They're flames of fire. Remember, chapter 2 tells us about that. But not only that, the Bible tells us in the last verse, I think it's verse 18, that they are ministering servants sent forth to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. So they, the holy angels, are my minister. Now, on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about Lot again. Lot was visited by whom? Well, it wasn't the greatest designation because Jesus didn't go with that group. But angels came, right? He was saved, but boy, was he carnal, wasn't he? All right? But they ministered and took him out of his family, out of Sodom. Okay? So they're ministering spirits. They are your ministers. They were fellow heirs with them, were fellow servants with them. And what's our duty with the angels? To do the will of God, right? But where are we to do the will of God? God's will is always done in heaven, right? So where are we to do the will of God now that we still have bodies and souls? Here. That's my duty. What is the will of God? And I want to fulfill that here before I join them up there, okay? But I can do that. I have that place. I'm there with the angels. But the second group is the church here on earth. That's us. Because he says, we are come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. Can I ask you this? Who's the firstborn? Yes, Jesus Christ, okay? He is the firstborn. But why am I called the church of the firstborn? Because I'm part of his body, okay? And we all in this room, if we're saved, we're members one of another, aren't we? We all have a different function in the church, but we're all serving the same Lord. How do I get my power to serve right in the church? Him, the Lord Jesus. It comes from him and his spirit working in me. So we are destined, and the Bible says that we are written in heaven. God, like Brother Karl Brau, has books. He has ledgers. And I'm written in the book of life, but also the Lamb's book of life. I'm written there. You can find my name there. And how did it get there? Because of Jesus. That's why it's there. So I'm written there. This is the second group. The third group is God, the judge of all, the Bible says. God is there, and he is the judge of all of us. The fourth group, the Bible says, is the spirits of just men, or the spirits of just men made perfect, the Bible says. Who's that? That's the Old Testament saints. That's Moses. That's Abraham. And that's all of them. Now, what are they waiting for? They're waiting for the redemption of their body too, aren't they? But they are very much alive. I was reading in Luke this week about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they're falling asleep. They're slumbering and they're sleeping. When they wake up, they see Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. What were they talking about? What Jesus was going to do. Redemption. It's a big deal in heaven. They were talking about that. And they were very much seeing God had given them some kind of body, even though they were spirits, but they had a body, and they were talking about the will of God. And so that's the spirits of just men made perfect. So they're just waiting for their body, the resurrection, and all of that. So that's the other group that we're related to in this heavenly Jerusalem, this Mount Zion. And then the last one is the crown jewel of all, the Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. He's there. He's there. You've heard people who have had death experiences and all that. Who do they want to see when they get there? Well, I've heard some say there's an innumerable host of people that comes to meet them, and they say the love of God is overwhelming. And that's a love that we already have in our hearts. For one another, we should. Okay, but it gets tainted. It gets, when we're not walking where we ought to walk, we should have love. We should have peace, holiness, one with another, shouldn't we? But it's Jesus. They want to see Jesus. They want to, and this one man I heard, Do Run one time, he said, I knew if I got to the throne, if I got to the foot of the throne and looked up, I'd see Jesus. And somebody was praying here on earth that God would preserve his life and bring him back. And he said, when I lifted up my eyes, I woke up back in my body here on earth. He said, it was kind of a disappointment to be back, you know. But the fact of the matter, that is the city that you now, and I am presently a part of. Not in the future, but in my spirit, I have access and I can live there. Remember what the scriptures say? That we are seated in heavenly places, not in the future, but now in Christ Jesus. How? Because I'm his body and I'm there. And I have all authority over the devil and over evil spirits through whom? Christ Jesus and his blood, because he is victorious. He's not going to be victorious. It's already done. Do you understand that? Can you see that? So that's what we have. And so it's the blood sprinkling, the initiated new covenant, and the accomplished that accomplished our redemption and gives us access here. The blood sprinkling in heaven gives us our boldness, our cleansing, our sanctification, and God is speaking for us and to us. He speaks for us, the blood speaks for us, and God speaks to us, and you're my child. I love you. Now, with all that, and man, I got to finish. Verse 25 says this, and it's a warning. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. You know what that reminds me of? I go all the way back to chapter 1. And in chapter 1, it says, God has spoken how? Through his son. Through his son. What happens when people reject Jesus? Does it help them? Do they get better? No, it gets worse. When the world, we see the world is moved by the whims of, well, what do the people want now? Or and things are changing. Laws are changed because they're not based on truth. On feelings instead of truth. And when a society is like that, it will not go up. It will continue to go down. But now he's talking to you as a Christian. Don't refuse him that speaketh. What, if I could boil that down, I think it's basically this. Don't live in unbelief. Look at all that I have for you. Look what I prepared for you. Look at where you can live now. Look at the victory that you can have now. And don't live on such a base level. Don't say, well, I'm saved, but live under Mount Sinai. Oh, no, no. No, there's fear and condemnation and fire. But the Bible does tell us that we are to serve God acceptably with, he says here, with reverence and godly fear. There is that respect for him, but it's not a, I'm going to beat you if I don't. But you know what? There is chastisement, isn't there? But it's not that I'm going to lose my life and my salvation. Man, once you're born again, you can't lose your salvation. But could Paul, if he's not living according to where the privileges that he's been given and not glorifying God in his body, could God take him home? Could he? And what's he going to lose? Rewards? Opportunities to lay up more treasure in heaven? Right? That's what he loses if God takes him home early. So that brings upon us, because we, now that we know the truth, we need to walk in this truth. Because God chastens, and he doesn't dare not to, oh, I don't know if I should. No, he does. Why? Because he wants us to be partakers of what? His holiness. He wants you and me to live like we're supposed to live, like he's destined us to live now. Not just in the future, but now. Now, that's a big load, isn't it? That's some pretty heavy stuff. But I hope this morning, it's my desire that when you look at the scriptures again, you'll say, oh. And I hope the Holy Spirit said, and he illuminates it for you, and you say, oh, this is now. This is what I am now. And this is where I can live now. I have come to the new Jerusalem. And someday, my friend, it will come down, and you'll have your new body, and it's a kingdom that cannot be removed. It's eternal. It's eternal. Thank God for all that salvation means. It's not just getting to go to heaven. You're there now. You are there now. So take your position in Christ Jesus. Believe by faith for what you have and live it. Live it. Live it. And you and I have been given that through Christ. Wow. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you have given us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for becoming man and dying for us so that you could fulfill everything that your Father required of us. And thank you that there's no condemnation for me today, because thank you, Father, when you see me, you see Christ. Forgive us for so often falling short of what we really have. Forgive us for our ignorance, or Lord, forgive us for our unbelief. May we believe and walk and be active in the truth that we've learned today. In Jesus' name, amen.